Hello and welcome back to the FNF podcast. Today we are going to do a best team, a best Man United team since Alex Ferguson departed the club. So some of the rules for this, you're only allowed players that were signed or promoted through the academy after Alex Ferguson had left, which means that a few notable exceptions, sort of your Wayne Rooney, your David De Gea, a couple of them are not
Alex.
are not allowed. So yeah, I'm Ewan, your host, and today we have the Garth Crooks of football podcast, George Newell, legend.
I am flattered. It's a poor decision.
what beveragino are you on today, George?
I've gone GMT, and following the roadmap out of lockdown announcement that's got us all very excited, I've even spiced it up with a slice of lime because garnish is key. So yeah, that's how good a mood I'm in. So, you know.
Yeah. It'll be hanging tomorrow, falling over. Oh. And I'm also joined with Mr. Forder.
I'm quite glad that you didn't liken me to some shitty pundit who's only been on TV twice. How are you, Ewan?
I'm good. If you want a pundit, I'll give you the
Don't
Danny Murphy of football podcasts.
Okay, I'll take Danny Murphy. I thought you'd go worse with that.
According to some, he's the worst of the worst.
I know. I don't think he's that bad. I mean, he's on Match of the Day and Match of the Day.
I think he is. It's slightly harsh.
Scored a lot of goals at Old Trafford, which is more than can be said for Alex. So,
yeah, that is true. I haven't scored many. Before you ask and then I have a go at me, I'm drinking gin and squash. I have no mixes in the house apart from squash. But at least it's peach squash, so it's quite nice.
I see.
I think it would be way cooler if you called it gin and juice, but yeah.
How about gin and cordial?
Cordial's even better. Roy Hodgson's cordial, definitely.
Yeah. What have you got, Ewan?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a jazzy beer, as you can see from the logo. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
It's 7.9%, so it's going to knock my socks off.
Woucher.
Yeah, don't mind me if I just collapse in the middle of the podcast and fall asleep and hand the reins to our Garth Crooks.
I want to be the star too often.
But to start, I guess the natural starting place will be the goalkeeper. Alex, I'm interested, who have you gone for?
I feel like there's really only one option. I don't think you can put in Henderson.
There is actually more than one option, to be fair.
Well, there probably is. But I've gone with Romero. He's played about 45 games. I added it up earlier. He's always been good as well. I think he's had like one or two odd like mistakes. But whenever I've watched him play, he's always looked like he could be a first teamer if necessary. And there have been periods when De Gea has been out of form, or when he's been injured and he's come in and he's done a perfectly good job. And there's anything wrong with him as a number two for a side like Man United. And I think he'd actually walk into quite a lot of Premier League sides. And he's just been a bit unlucky that he is behind such a class keeper. So yeah, I think he is the obvious choice.
Okay, yeah. And Gig, have you gone for the other potential candidate or have you stuck with Romero?
I've gone for neither, actually. I agree. I think Romero has been excellent whenever he's been called upon, and he's been quite harshly treated in Man U, which led to him leaving. And I think, I don't know, a little bit of his, like, some of the teams he comes up against, but he's never really done much wrong for Man U. But one guy who I had, well, by and large, I've gone for a sort of silverware over their general performances for Man United, and one guy I'd completely forgotten they'd acquired is Victor Valdez.
I've completely forgot about Victor Valdez.
There you go. It's all in the research. If you want silverware, then Valdez is your man. 6 La Liga titles, 2 Copa del Rey, 3 times Champions League winner, 2 FIFA Club World Cups, a World Cup and a European Championship. And pretty spectacular demise, I must say, from Barcelona to Middlesbrough's backup goal in the space of about 3 or 4 years.
Which is exactly why Ewan should pick Romero.
Still a very big name and probably the one I'd go for.
Well, yeah, seeing as it is the one you went for, it is probably the one you went for.
Yeah, probably. That's a very dark crooks thing to say.
Victor Valdes is obviously an extremely accomplished goalkeeper, more accomplished than the others for sure. But then he just didn't cut the mustard at United, did he, really?
And Barca fans weren't massive on him when he was at Barca as well. Like, I think he was always considered the weak link.
Yeah, I think like he's sort of he was never really like a world class goalkeeper. It was more he was just in such an insane team. Obviously, he was a good goalie. I don't know. I'm finding it hard. I'm a bit gutted. Neither of you mentioned who my personal choice would have been. I would have gone with Lee Grant.
Not Joel Pereira.
He did a good job as a fourth official the other day. Did you see?
Talented man. He's turned into a bit of a Johnny Sins with his multifaceted abilities. But then again, like the trophies, it's a bit hard to look past. And I think that I'll go with the South American man and go for Romero. I think.
Come on.
Yeah, I think just because of Valdez's poor performances at United, I'm going to have to go for Romero, a loyal servant of the club.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I do think we've been a bit rude of his time at Barcelona, though. I think they're probably the best team of all time, and he didn't just happen to be their goalkeeper, if you know what I mean. And also, Pep did say to him, pass to your centre-backs from goal kicks, and he said, what if I make a mistake? And he said, I'll take the blame, you know. And Valdes started all that tiki-taka football. But, you know, I'm not upset, so move on.
For any audio viewers, Gig did punch his table when Gig said Romero, when Ewan said Romero. So,
So moving on, we have the right back. Gig, I'll go to you first and see if you can persuade me this time.
I can always persuade you, handsome. But the back four is probably the least star-studded. But I have gone for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I'm a very big fan of his. I do think we are sort of looking at a potential Man United legend, a bit of a freak defensively. I think even he admits he doesn't really know where his tackling ability has come from, but he's as good as anyone in world football at it, and probably is a little bit harshly treated for his attacking ability. I think he knows when to attack, and when he does attack, he generally contributes fairly well, if not to the extent of some of the modern fullbacks. But yeah, I'm a big fan, and he's definitely the best right back Man U have acquired in recent years, I feel.
And Alex, I presume you've gone for the same.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, really. Like, I was looking through Man United right backs over the past few years, and Gary Neville retired a couple of years before Fergie left, but then it's Diego Dalot, Raphael. Well, you can't even pick Raphael because he was in a
Darmian and
Fergie. But then the other option for
Fosu Mensah, I guess.
Yeah, Dalot and Darmian and Varela, who I don't know if you guys will even remember because he was shite.
I only remember him from the research for this, but yeah.
I remember him actually playing quite a good game against FC Midtjylland at Old Trafford, which I know Geek was at.
Another one of my cute little dates.
Ewan, can you, quick little side note, can you guess who played their first Manchester United game in that day?
It was Marcus Rashford, wasn't it?
It was Marcus Rashford, yeah.
Yeah, I've mentioned it.
Fact of the pod.
I think Valencia was one I looked at as well, but obviously I think he was probably there longer than people think, and he was there pre-Fergie.
I did have Valencia in at first, actually. I was going to maybe try and make an argument in that he never played right back while Ferguson was there, but I thought that was going to get passed away pretty quickly.
But yeah, I think Wan-Bissaka, can't be any complaints about that. It's got to be him. Centre-backs, off the top of my head, there's a few options, but I'm not 100% who you'll have both gone for. If you want to give me your first one, Alex.
I've gone for Chris Smalling. No, I haven't really. I've Harry Maguire. I did think about trying to argue Chris Smalling, but I was like, realistically, United's centre-backs have been shite since Ferdinand and Vidic left. Now it's starting to look like they've got a defence again. But really, I think that's always been somewhere that they've struggled. Obviously, the signing of my next centre-back was maybe a bit more of an exciting one. But yeah, Maguire's, I think, is a no-brainer, really. Like Gig has said a lot of the time, he gets a lot of harsh treatment. Maybe that's more because of the price tag rather than actually how good he is. He's just not living up to being £80 million player, but that's not his fault. He's still doing well and he's showing signs of being a Man United centre-back and also a Man United captain.
Yeah, I think a lot of Maguire's treatment just comes from the profile he has sort of in like popular culture as well. Like if Michael Keane or someone like that makes similar mistakes to Maguire, like it's not plastered all over your social media, all over Instagram. And part of that's just because of the price tag and the club he plays for. I think Maguire has been fairly good at Man United. He's had some poor performances, he's had some memeable moments, but overall I think he has been good, just not worth the price. Was Maguire also in yours, Gig?
Yeah, he was. I put him as my left centre back because that is where he traditionally plays. I feel like Alex might have gone for the same other centre back. I was thinking maybe Eric Boye because he's won an AFCON. But I didn't go for him in the end. I also didn't go for Chris Smalling because he did play under Alex Ferguson.
He's been there a long time, hasn't he?
Actually? Yeah, I think 2010 he joined. But yeah, World Cup semi-finalist, third in the Nations League, which I think is largely what led to his big price tag and his move. And ultimately was the most expensive defender. He still is the most expensive defender in the world. And that is pretty big calibre. Yeah, team awards not massive, but he won player and player's player of the season at Hull and then won it both awards in his first year at Leicester, which I think is pretty impressive, even though Hull isn't necessarily a momentous club. But yeah, certainly probably been Man United's best defender in recent years, which is maybe a bit of a reflection on where they are compared to where they have been, but you know.
And Gig, seeing as you alluded to some of the names that have missed out, who was the other centre-back that you've got alongside Maguire?
I've gone for Lindelof. Obviously, coming from Benfica, which is a pretty big club as well, won three league titles there. I know they tend to be a bit more routine in Portugal, but it's still an achievement. Two domestic cups as well, and the European Under-21 Championship with Sweden in 2015. And also got into the Champions League breakthrough 11 in 2016. Plenty of calibre there. And maybe sort of points towards a bit of a surprise that he hasn't performed to the level we expect, looking at some of the things he did earlier in his career. But he still is a decent player and maybe not helped by playing alongside someone like Maguire of a similar kind of... They've both got similar weaknesses, but still a very good Premier League centre-back, I feel.
Yeah, definitely a very good player for me. Reads the game very well. As you said, it's not a particularly complimentary partnership he's got with Maguire. Alex, I'm interested. Have you gone with Lindelof or maybe have you gone for that Eric Boye?
I've gone for Eric Boye. Now, I know that Eric Boye isn't your man who, if you want him to play 38 games a year, but I think in the maybe 25-20 games that you do get out of him, he is probably Man United's best centre-back right now. And I also am sort of going to go more along the lines of there wasn't a lot of options and your main options really were going to be Man United's three current centre-backs. And personally, I think Lindelof is shit. I think whenever I've watched him play, he's made a mistake that's led to a goal. And maybe it's just because I notice it more with him. I really don't rate him. I think I expected a bit more of him when he signed because, as Gig mentioned, he was class at Benfica before, but I just whenever I watch him play, I just don't think he's any good. And I think Boye as much as he is a bit comical at times, he is a solid centre back. He's not bad on the ball. So I know I think Bailly is I think it's got to be Bailly for me.
Yeah, think it's like it reflects on like Man U's recruitment. I think like midfields and forwards was kind of sport for choice, but the fact that none of the three centre backs we're talking about have been outstanding and they're the ones who've put forward, they're just, I think centre backs are harder to acquire, like a real quality centre back, but they're just, it's something they haven't gone in for as much.
Yeah, I think Bailly and Lindelof both have their merits. I think probably as a player right now in that team, you'd much rather to have Eric Bailly playing week in, week out. But then when you look at them as players, like if you like maybe had the perfect partner next to them for them, like they're both going to be pretty similar. Like Lindelof, as much as you don't rate him, Al, I do think he is actually a very good player, and a different side would be doing a very good job, and in a different system he might be doing better. I think I'm not 100%, I've not got the stats off my head, but I think that I'm going to go for Lindelof just for the fact that he's probably done a bit more in his career and had more game time and although Eric Bailly has got a very important trophy under his belt, so I'm going to go for Lindelof.
One thing I want to say is that I don't genuinely think Lindelof is a shit footballer. I just think he's not been anywhere near to the standard that he could be. Like, I do think there's obviously like a good player there. I just don't think he's unlocked his real quality yet.
I think it's sort of when you said that he's not. You said to me one time, he's not shit, but he should be playing at the level of West Brom. I just thought that was a bit harsh. I think he could be playing Champions League football in a different country.
So could West Brom. If we were, I don't know.
Got you there.
Bulgaria.
I'd still have to get through. I guess to wrap up the back four, I presume you've gone for the same left back, but I'm not 100%. Who have you gone for, Gig?
I think it's pretty clearly between Telles and Luke Shaw. I think Telles is one of them. We've all sort of heard of him, and he is quite high profile. Won the league with Galatasaray and Porto, I believe. Porto? Porto. Yeah.
He came from Porto, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And he won two league titles there. Had a spell at Inter Milan as well, which is a big old club. But ultimately, I think at the time, I think we're starting to see the best of Luke Shaw now. But at the time Manu signed him, he was red hot. I think he's the most expensive teenager in the world. And he was one of them sort of players, you're not thinking he's got a bright future ahead of him. You're thinking he's nailed on to be like a superstar. And unfortunately, he had his double leg break and stuff. And that has halted his progress. But he's still a very good player. He's still, at this moment in time, he's probably England's best left back. Still only 25, and he's played 120 times for a club, I believe. And I do think he could very much be a Man United legend if he stays fit and plays another five plus years at Man U. Luke Shaw wasn't one I went for, but Telles is a good player.
Alex, have you gone for Luke as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's got to be Luke Shaw for me. I did sort of think about sort of the same what I was going to say with Valencia, try and whack Ashley Young in there, maybe just for argument's sake, in that he played as a winger under Fergie and then got moved back. But I thought I'd get shot down pretty quickly.
So Luke Shaw it is. I think Telles as well. Like, even though it's not solely based on their time at United, it still does come into account that. And I think he's only played, 15 games at max for United. I think Luke Shaw's got to be the man. And so on to the midfield. I know, Gig, you might have gone for a bit of a slightly different formation here. And Alex, we'll go for the central midfielders first. And I'll see if you can convince me whether your way of playing is better. But we'll go for your first centre mid.
This is awkward because I do actually go for 4-4-2 in the end. But do you still want my centre mids?
No, we'll go right mid then.
Okay, yeah. Apologies. I've gone for Angel Di Maria. Out of all the players that Man U bought since Fergie, this is the one I'm sort of most disappointed about that didn't work out, because I do think he's a world beater on his day. On the odd time I do watch PSG now, I think he's always outstanding. That 6-1 against Barca, or 5-0? 5-0.
He was 5-0. It was 5-0 and 6-1.
Off the scale. Obviously, that was a couple of years ago, but he's still a brilliant player. Obviously, won the league with Benfica, another Benfica export. La Liga with Real Madrid, 2 Copa del Reyes in the Champions League. 104 caps for Argentina, and if you think of the attacking talent that Argentina have had in this era, I think that is some going. Just a brilliant natural footballer. Wonder with left foot. I think we saw bits of what he can do. I think 5-2 they won at Leicester, they lost 5-2 to Leicester, and he scored an outrageous dink. But I think from what we've heard, his family just hated being in England, and in particular Manchester, because of the weather. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. But a brilliant player wherever he's been. Just a world-class player on his day.
Yeah, Di Maria definitely comes with excellent pedigree. And he also, although he gets shit on for his time at Manchester, he wasn't actually particularly bad. He was fairly bright in Manchester. Just didn't quite work out. Alex, have you gone for someone else? By your reaction,
Gone for someone else. I completely understand why Giggs gone for Di Maria, but I knew that he would, because he did say that he wanted to go more for the superstar route than how they were at Man United. I've gone for Juan Mata. Now, I know this might be odd putting him on the right, but for the first couple of years he was at United, he did play there. And actually, when he was under Van Gaal on the right, he did do a pretty good job. I can't remember the stats. I had them written down, but then my phone died and it didn't save all my notes.
That old convenient.
But it was actually quite annoying, because I thought this is weakened my argument. But I think Juan Mata is one of the best players best midfielders to ever grace the Premier League. And I think he proved that at United. He's always one of those players that if he gets the ball, maybe not so much now, but when he gets the ball, it feels like he's going to be the one to pick out that pass. He always looks very comfortable. Despite him having a bit of a lack of pace, his dribbling is not bad at all. Like, he can definitely beat a man and put a good ball in. And also, he can take a mean free kick. So, I've gone with Juan Mata. He was also played right mid for Chelsea and was phenomenal there, which earned him the move to Man United.
Was Premier League player of the season for Chelsea, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. It's one of them. It was a brilliant signing when United got him, and for whatever reason, we never really saw the best of him. But I think the game that stuck out to me was at Liverpool. I think he scored that overhead kick, and he was brilliant. I think Gary Neville said that that's the only time in his lifetime that Man U have actually gone to Anfield and dominated the game, which I think, if you think of the team Man U have had, is pretty amazing. Master in his day was fantastic. And I think you were saying to me the other day, Ewan, you could make a brilliant free signing for someone in the summer because he's out of contract.
I definitely think Mata is an extremely strong choice. I guess Mason Greenwood, in terms of, if we were talking about performances at United, then he's kind of in with a shout. But then you look at the what the other two have done in their careers, and he's sort of not anywhere near them yet, but hopefully will be one way. I guess also a slight position change for another player. I won't mention him, that you could have done to take him from left mid to right mid and then have a different left mid maybe. But I don't know. It's a tough one.
This is a tough one. I can understand.
I really like Mata as well, so I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm not going to be asked if you picked Di Maria either.
I think people forget how young Mata was when he came to the Prem as well, and he was still outstanding.
He was 22, 23.
And he got 25 goal contributions one season. But yeah, I think I don't know. It's just because Di Maria has been at Madrid and PSG. I don't know. Maybe we hold him a bit higher, but.
Yeah, I think Di Maria is held in a higher esteem, but I don't actually think he's any better than Juan Mata.
I'd say he probably is. I think Di Maria is
different
of
players.
Yeah.
Hmm. And
I think like, out on the right, I think it is Di Maria.
Yeah, I think as wingers, but then they're different because when Mata especially was playing out on the right, he wasn't playing that sort of traditional winger role because it was more under Van Gaal. And I know United weren't great there, but he was probably one of their best players in that period.
Yeah.
And also maybe it's a benefit that you've got someone who can also play in the centre midfield if you don't know.
Well, yeah, because fluidity in transition to a midfield three, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Mata, he's been there for what, like 7 years. I think I'm going to go for.
So, it's a tough one.
Yeah, in goal, I ended up going for the person that had played for United more and been better at United and been there for longer. However, I think on the right, I'm going to go for the person that's probably had a more... although Matters definitely isn't unmemorable. I think Di Maria will look back on probably... in 10 years and think more of Di Maria than we do of Mata and hold Di Maria as one of the top players of the generation, maybe. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Di Maria this time.
I'll take that L graciously.
That photo of Mata and Silva after the Real Sociedad game as well, I was like, oh those guys, you know what I mean? But yeah,
Di Maria. Mata is also a top bloke.
Yeah. And then for the right centre mid, who did you go for, Al?
To be honest, I don't think it really matters which of my centre mids plays on either side. But I went for Ander Herrera, who I don't see why United got rid of him. I think Ander Herrera was a quiet Man United legend in a lot of ways. He was probably their most consistent player over the last, like, 6 years before last season. And if you wanted someone to man mark a player all game, like say if Liverpool were playing them now and you were like, just mark Salah, just follow him all game, he would do that and he would do it perfectly. I'm trying to remember the game it was now, but there was some, it's really not helping my argument that I can't remember the match it was, but I remember he quieting someone up so well. And it's also like, he's a bit of a shithouse and I quite like that from a Man United player. Like, you always knew that he was going to be in the ref's ear. He was always on the floor. And I mean, that's not necessarily like a good thing, but he had that sort of like winner's mentality. And he also like a very good footballer on the ball. He scored some bangers in his time. And I don't know. I think he is underrated. And I would definitely put him in a Man United centre midfield over the last 7 years.
Yeah, I do think Herrera is definitely a good player at United and is probably a bit underrated. But I think when you look at the competition, I think that it's not going to be too hard to beat. Although I do appreciate the sentiment that Herrera was good and he is a good player. But Gig, who have you gone for in that slot?
Well, like Alex said, I think like that man marking out the game thing, like it's a similar thing like Darren Fletcher in the Ferguson era. And maybe if you played in that sort of great team, you'd appreciate him a bit more. But considering I left out Nemanja Matic, who I think might be Alex's other midfielder, I think Herrera is a bold shout. But yeah, I've gone for Paul Pogba. As I think Matic is has probably performed better at times.
And I'd just say Pogba was my other midfielder.
Oh, okay. But I think when Pogba joined, the whole world knew about it. It was the biggest transfer fee at the time. It was groundbreaking. I think, although he's still fairly young, he'd won 4 Serie A titles. And obviously he was coming back to sort of where he grew up. He was named in the 10-man shortlist for 2015 best player in Europe. Yeah, and although I would like to have seen a lot more from him at Man United, he's been so dreadfully inconsistent despite his obvious talent. It is a huge name and he is still a very good player. So yeah, I think Pogba kind of had to be in there for me.
Yeah, and seeing as Alex has already as said that he's got Pogba in there as well, I think Pogba, he absolutely has to be. Like, we talk about Harry Maguire's fee and say that he just isn't worth that sort of money. Like, Pogba hasn't lived up to his fee in terms of his time at United, but when he was bought for that price, I don't think there was anywhere near the same sort of, oh my God, how have they rinsed like a club for that much? Because with someone like Pogba, although he has been like very inconsistent, he is one of the best midfielders in the world, and is an excellent player. And there was times when Pogba was making world 11s. I think I've got to go for Paul Pogba there.
I think it's part of it is like the frustration with Pogba because we know of the talent. I don't believe that Pogba is a bad player defensively. He just sort of doesn't have that sort of switched on mentality of like a Matic to act on it, if you know what I mean, that sort of awareness. And I think with his talent, he could have been the best midfielder in the world the last couple of years and maybe won Man U a title. He has got that ability. I think you saw it in January and over Christmas, like when Pogba came back into the team, he was playing some of his best football. He was sort of winning games single-handedly for Man United. And you see it for France as well. Admittedly, in a better midfield with the likes of Kante and Matuidi, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to do it over a prolonged spell at Man United. For the talent and for the name, I think I agree, he has to be in there.
Yeah. So, Alex, your choices then were Herrera and Pogba. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. Yeah. I also think those two would work quite well together in a midfield.
Not that I could see a top side playing a 4-4-2 at the moment. But maybe they would. Gig, who was your other midfielder then?
I know what you lean towards in that there is a bit of a glaring eviction in Bruno Fernandes. Maybe not helped by the fact we're playing 4-4-2, but just in terms of calibre,
I cannot believe I forgot Bruno Fernandes. What am I? Get me off a football podcast. That is shocking.
You will, but I've actually left him out. I think, with the exception of De Gea, he's probably been Man U's best player since Fergie left, despite him only being there a year. And his numbers are off the scale. There's no debating that. But in terms of pure calibre, I have gone for Bastian Schweinsteiger. Arguably one of the biggest letdowns Man U've had. And maybe it's easy to say they signed him when he was a bit past it, but I think he played in a position where he could have still done it at the age they bought him. And I was a little bit surprised when he went to Chicago Fire. But 8 Bundesliga titles in 13 years. 7 Pokals, the Domestic Cup, Champions League winner, World Cup winner, FIFA World Cup Dream Team in 2010 when they won it, obviously, and then German Player of the Year in 2010 and 13. Just another one of those buying players with a quite ridiculous trophy cabinet. And when Man U signed him, you sort of couldn't believe that it wouldn't work out because of what he's done in the game, but for whatever reason it didn't. Bruno's obviously fantastic, and if we were looking at this in maybe 6 months or a bit longer, he'd sort of have to be in there. It's difficult to leave him out, but I think Schweinsteiger is just probably a legend of the game, and that's why I went for him.
Can I make a quick counter argument before you decide, Ewan?
Yeah, what I was going to say is now that you had your little reaction there, would you like to swap out Ander Herrera in terms of your shouts?
Nah. Because if I think that if I pick Bruno Fernandes, you'll definitely pick Fernandes.
Okay.
Whereas I feel like Herrera is, I don't know. Also, I feel like I've had that much of a mare by forgetting about him that I don't deserve to put him in my team. Because I knew that Gig would pick Schweinsteiger, and I knew that when he said, I knew that Schweinsteiger and Di Maria would be in his team when he wanted to. I also know who his left winger will be. I think we all do, to be fair.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not gonna say it. But Schweinsteiger played for United for 2 years and made 18 appearances. Now, when, and I know what you're saying, he was class at Bayern and it didn't, and it was like, that's a great signing because he was only, I think, 31, 32 when he joined United. Like, that's definitely an age where someone can still have a good couple of years. But 18 games over 2 years, so that's not even half of one Premier League season, let alone FA Cup, League Cup, and United would have been in the Europa League at the time. So, like, there's so many games that he was clearly not selected for because he wasn't good enough. He was so poor at United. And who was keeping him out of the team? Under Herrera.
I do see the point. The thing is, if you had swapped your shout to Bruno Fernandes, he would have been straight in there.
Yeah, but Herrera was the reason why Schweinsteiger wasn't playing for Man United.
Yeah, no, and
he had his injuries as well, didn't he, Schweinsteiger?
Yeah, but he wasn't like major injuries. He was just like
trophies he could give to Ander Herrera.
He was an absolutely he is a bit of a legend of the game, definitely for sure. He's done a lot in his career, a cracking player, didn't turn up for United, whether it's through his fault or not. It's annoying. I wish that you had remembered Bruno. It would make my life a lot easier. I do also think that Marouane Fellaini could be in with a shout.
No, Fellaini could not be in with a shout. I thought about it. I thought that you'd want it.
He's everything. I was thinking you could whack him in the right back if you wanted. Do a job wherever. But
I'm also happy to go for Matic, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, I did think about Matic, but I thought, like, at Chelsea, the year Chelsea won the league, he was the best player in the league. But at United, he's not been, he just wasn't quite at the level. And I thought that, I know there were players who could maybe rival him. Also, quick little fact that I've just read about Schweinsteiger. He was the first German to ever play in the Premier League for Manchester United.
That's interesting.
Actually, I think he was the first German ever to play for Manchester United.
That is a nice little factoid.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's bending the rules, but I want to override both your shouts and just put Bruno Fernandes in there.
I think that's acceptable. But can you tell us who you would pick out of Herrera or Schweinsteiger anyway?
If that is acceptable, I'm going to go for that option. But so, I think if I had to pick between Herrera and Schweinsteiger,
in a Man United 11, though.
Yeah, but I think I'd have to go for Schweinsteiger. He is. you look at what Schweinsteiger's done in the game compared to what Ander Herrera's done in the game. It's a different level.
No, yeah, I agree. But then, and like as Geek said, Ander Herrera very similar to a Darren Fletcher sort of player. And the reason United weren't like winning things wasn't because of him. I think he was probably the reason why. One of the reasons why United were still doing pretty well at the time.
Yeah.
Mourinho did also say that he was one of the three players who was the reason that they finished second the year they did.
Yeah, I've just gone for medals, admittedly, and not many come close to Schweinsteiger, to be fair. But
that is true. Well,
and then to be fair, Herrera has then gone on to win silverware with PSG.
Schweinsteiger never won anything with PSG, did he?
Oh, Chicago Fire were a good team though. So,
but are we happy to give it to Bruno or?
At the end of the day, mate, your host, you're the decider anyway.
I suppose it's a hypothetical team. There's not a lot of defensive responsibility between Pogba and Bruno. But yeah,
Giggs got like an itch in his brain that he can't scratch now that you've put Bruno and Pogba as the only two central midfielders.
Especially when you've got Maguire and Lindelof as your centre backs.
Yeah, it's just the current United back four anyway.
We
know how great that works. So Bruno,
it would work better if Bailly was in it.
Bruno and Pogba are our centre midfielders. Onto left midfield, I think pretty easy shout, unless I'm forgetting someone of particular note. We'll go to you first, Gig.
I've gone for Alexis Sanchez. Rashford has done a lot for the club, but I hate to use the word underrated because anyone who doesn't get a social media post about him every day is seemingly underrated.
That is actually such a valid point. That's probably the worst thing about the football community.
Yeah, but I think it was a brilliant signing from Arsenal in the first place. I think he got 39 goals in 88 games for Barcelona, and they got him for about 30, 35 million. But he's got like a fear factor about him in his prime that I haven't seen from many other players. Like, I think Bale had it, you know, that sort of like ridiculous pace, and you just know you're in for a tough game.
Like if you're a fullback coming up against him, you just don't back yourself.
Yeah, and he carried a very distinctly average Arsenal team on his back. He could play right wing, he could play up front, he could play number 10 role. He was brilliant for 3 or 4 years, really. 62 goals and 28 assists for Arsenal, including the 16-17 season where he got 24 goals and 10 assists. Two-time Arsenal Player of the Year, PFA Team of the Year, PFA Fans Player of the Year. Won the Copa America twice with Chile as well. Obviously, a country not blessed with football and talent.
I'll have you know Gonzalo Jara played for Chile.
I do know that because he's somewhere from very briefly. A straight swap for Henrik Mkhitaryan as well. He didn't have to pay anything. I do think Mkhitaryan is a decent player, but I thought it was a very good deal at the time. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. A couple of pretty horrible injuries and just generally pretty poor form, but a brilliant, brilliant player in his day. And as I say, very much underappreciated what he did at Arsenal. I feel he was one of the best players the Premier League has seen, I do think.
Definitely underappreciated at times for Barcelona as well, I think, in some ways. Alex?
I don't know, he was... I think...
he was in the best team Barcelona. Of all time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the best team of all time with David Villa on the left, Messi on like down the middle. Like,
but Pedro played over him a lot of the time, but yeah.
Pedro was on the right though, and Sanchez was better on the left. And I mean, Pedro at Chelsea obviously wasn't as good as Sanchez, but I think Pedro just suited the style of play better than Sanchez did. But you and I've gone for Marky Mark Rashford. Daniel, because he is he. Like, well, I mean, since he. As I've kind of gone for the whole how they've been at United, Giggs gone for how they've done over their careers. I think at the end of the day, Rashford has been one of the few really bright sparks over the last six. Well, since Fergie left, I'd say it's probably almost like the highlight for Man United. I've known he was a talent straight away because was that his first game, you know. I still remember people trying to convince me it was Martial. I was like, when I'm like 50.
Martial didn't wear 39.
It's not Martial, you're just racist. Daniel Rashford, he started to show signs of being a really world-class player now. Scored so many goals this year. I think he has proven as well that he isn't a striker, he is a left winger. His finishing isn't always fantastically consistent, but he seems to be getting better every week, and he always looks dangerous as well. Like, if I see him one-on-one with a man like in a dribbling situation, I always think he's gonna get passed.
See it a lot, don't you?
it's a very good subcategory. I think Marcus Rashford has to be my winger, my left midfielder. He's a top bloke. I just like wingers who are top blokes.
Yeah, and I think he's got already got 85 goals for Man United at least, more than Cantona. And he obviously is a brilliant player who's only going to get better. Sanchez. I don't see Rashford could very easily do what Sanchez did, but because Sanchez has done it, I'll just hold
it. Yeah, and Rashford hasn't yet.
It's a tough one. I know what you mean. Like, Rashford, he probably will go on and you'll look at his career when they're finished and you'll think, yeah, he probably has had as good, maybe better than Sanchez. But
how poor was Sanchez at United? Like, he was so... He literally, like... He wasn't even like, oh, it's just not worked out. Like, he was genuinely shit. Like,
yeah, he did lose a lot of his pace because of his injury, though, as well. Like,
yeah, and he was genuinely bad.
I think if you put him in that Arsenal team now, like, they'd probably be a top four team. I do think he's that sort of impact.
No, what you mean, but he was just so poor for United.
I think, yeah, it's a little bit like the Di Maria situation where he genuinely is a really class player.
But at least Di Maria wasn't shit, and Rashford's better than Mata in terms of, like, winger and how they've been at United as well.
I don't know, Gig, have you got any stats for Sanchez at United? Did he do anything?
At United? Oh, no, I very much glossed over it. but the fact he's this washed-up has-been and he's still managed to find himself a gig at Inter Milan, I think is a bit of a testament to how much of a player he is. And maybe if we were doing this in a couple of years, it would definitely be Rashford. But I think, obviously, because he's young, we're still seeing, like, the inconsistencies of Rashford. And he should really concentrate on his football rather than trying to feed kids, you know. But no.
Bastard.
Just Prime Alexis was just off the scale for me. As I say, just a genuinely frightening footballer. And when Man U bought him, I think we all thought it was brilliant business. I think Man City wanted him at the time as well. And for maybe the extra wages, he chose Man U and it didn't work out. If Man City had gone for him over Mahrez, I don't think they'd be any worse off. Well, they definitely wouldn't.
Alex?
So I've just looked up Alexis Sanchez's stats at Man United. I don't know what the International Champions Cup is, so I'm not going to include that because
I'm assuming it's some sort of tournament.
Yeah, it sounds like the Audi Cup or something. So in competitive games, he played 36 competitive matches and had 9 goal contributions.
I mean, it's not woeful.
It's not woeful, but it's not good for a Man United player.
I think for me, there's got to be some sort of... they've got to have done well in both categories, has been an exceptional player, or a good player, because I don't know if you'd consider Maguire or Lindelof necessarily as exceptional. but been a good player and also been good at Man United to some degree. And I think because of how disappointing Sanchez was, I think it was definitely more disappointing than Di Maria in some ways. Like, Di Maria still performed fairly well. And I think... to leave out Rashford, who almost certainly, if any of the players in this list are going to become United legends, Rashford either already is or will definitely be one. So I think I'm going to have to go for Daniel.
Yeah.
I would say that Alexis Sanchez didn't cost him anything and Di Maria cost him 57 million or something. But yeah, it's fine. I don't know.
Alexis Sanchez did cost them
wages.
300k a week sitting on the bench for almost a year.
Yeah.
And they couldn't palm him off for anything. But yeah, we'll see you shortly after this brief interlude. Did you want to do a bit of a tune now? Like a do 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 do
do do do do do do do. No, wait, what's the...
Phenomena.
Because
if you support the Tories, kiss my ass. Sorry.
So after that other lovely musical interlude from George, Alex, who have you gone for your first Manchester United post-Fergie striker?
So, my striker, who is slightly more to the right side, I've gone for...
a bit like big, you on the political big, spectrum.
yeah, man, you know me. Now, I've gone for Big Rom because... Well, partly because I've got a huge fan about his time at the Baggies. But I think he gets his time at United gets shat on a little bit. He wasn't that bad. He got 12 goals in his first year and 16. No, 12 goals in his second year and 16 in his first year, just in the league. So, you know, that's definitely enough goals to score. And when you're in a Man United team where there are other players who can get goals, he doesn't need to be banging 25 in a year. And it's, I wouldn't say goals is everything to Lukaku's game. I think because of the kind of player he is, he is quite good at like the hold at play. His first touch is a bit poor, but if he's got control of the ball, like he's hard to get it off, and he can sort of run at players a little bit. And he has also got the pace in terms of like if you play it in behind, it's 50-50 who's getting there, him or the centre back. He'll probably get there first, and he's got the strength. He's really good in the air. And obviously, even though I've generally gone for what they've done at United, obviously his career, won the Eredivisie Anderlecht. He obviously didn't play for Chelsea, but had a great year at West Brom. Three or four great years at Everton where he essentially kept Everton in the top half of the league. And he's gone to Inter Milan and just banged goals in. So at the end, I think it's unfair that he isn't really talked about as sort of a top player of the generation, because he's got to be in terms of statistics and goals. He scored so many goals. He got, I saw that stat that he's reached, I think it's 300 goals now. Is it 300? Yeah. And he did it at a younger age than Ronaldo did. So,
yeah, I think something that holds him back is his lack of trophies. I think his only thing that he's won is with Anderlecht. Obviously,
why do you think he played for Everton, though?
As he said, like he was tremendous at West Brom, really good at Everton as well, and then was actually good at Man United. I think he was the first player in the post-Fergie era to score more than 20 goals in a season. And then in Serie A, he's probably been the Italy Player of the Year this year, and will potentially be helping Inter Milan for their first Serie A in years. I think he's a very much a strong shout. Gig, have you gone for Lukaku?
I haven't, no, but it's a difficult one because I'm a massive fan of his. I think he got so much unnecessary stick, and it's similar to Maguire in a sense, although I believe he's a better player than Maguire. And the expectation is higher because of the price tag and being a Man U. But as you say, I think he got 25 goals in all comps at one point. And obviously, like, he's not going to win massive amounts of trophy at Everton. I'm not surprised Alex has gone for him because he put a West Brom shirt on at one point in his career. But I do think he's a brilliant player.
He probably
player.
Did it about 30-odd times, to be fair, over a season.
But, 35.
But yeah, he gets a lot of stick about his first touch, but he's in the Premier League 100 club, which is ultimately a pretty elite club, and he's done that by the age of 25. I do believe he will come back to the Premier League, and he'll make Man U look a bit stupid for letting him go. I think the only reason he's gone is because Solskjaer relies on this counter-attacking style of play, which doesn't necessarily suit him, although he probably could have played it a few years ago if Man U hadn't put so much weight on him. Literally. But no, I've gone for, as it depends what way you want to put it around, but my right striker was Edinson Cavani. I do fundamentally believe that this man was put on planet Earth to score goals. 216 goals and 32 assists in 304 games across his time at Napoli and PSG. 51 goals in 118 games for Uruguay. I appreciate that it's somewhat easier to win trophies at PSG, but a return of 21 trophies in 7 years is ridiculous wherever you are. And maybe his time at Napoli is a little bit sort of not talked about because they didn't win huge amounts, but he got on the team of the year 3 years running and formed a brilliant, brilliant partnership with Ezequiel Lavezzi.
Serie A Golden Boot as well.
Winner. Yeah, of course. Two-time league on Golden Boot. 16-17 season deserves a special mention because he got 49 goals and 6 assists in 50 games, which is just off a scale for me. And I thought when United signed him, it was a brilliant signing. There was a lot of criticism because it's Man U and we expected like a Sancho for 100 million or something. But you buy a serial goal scorer on a free, especially for a club like Man U where they've got a lot of young wingers that have been playing at striker. Like you look at Martial and Rashford. They don't have that instinct. I do like striker is kind of the most sort of natural position, if you know what I mean. And you look at the goals Cavani scored, none of them will get you up off your seat, but they're all sort of poacher's goals and you have to be in the position to get them. And he's, over the last 10 years, he's been one of the best goal scorers in the world. I think he's like sort of Lewandowski level. I know we talk about the French league a lot as not being very difficult, but I think Bayern in Germany is pretty similar, and I do think he's that good a player. That is what I would regard him as.
Yeah, Alex, was your other striker Cavani, or did you go for someone else?
No, I went for someone else. So, yeah, it is between Lukaku or Cavani. I would also like to say, I know Lukaku hasn't won a lot, but Inter are 4 points clear at the top of the table, and Lukaku has got 17 goals in 22 games this season.
I don't get any trophies in February, mate, so, you know.
Yeah, they're obviously both absolutely phenomenal players, and have both been sort of for the last 7 years have been, or since post Fergie, have been two of the best strikers in world football. I think I don't know whether it's just
actually,
the bias.
Lukaku wasn't just post Fergie, because I don't know if you'll remember Ewan being Alex Ferguson's last match. Lukaku did score a hat trick.
I don't think you'll remember, Alex, because you left early at 5-2. Yeah. But you know,
well, hang on. 13-year-old me didn't have much to say when my dad was like, "Fuck this, we're going home."
Oh, you can get a train from West Bromwich to Sutton, could you?
Right, yeah, that can be talked about on another podcast, because I would like to go into that a little bit more. My dad's
what are your daddy issues?
Well, it's not building the greatest rep on this. I would like to say my dad's a very nice bloke. Actually, fuck him, he's not listening, he's a wanker. Anyway, yeah, you would carry on.
Good at bins, though.
Yeah, he is good at bins.
Yeah. It's a tough one. They both have their own merits. Cavani more so for all the trophies that he's won, albeit even if they're easier to come by in France. I do think that when we look at their careers in 5 years' time, when Lukaku's is coming to an end or wrapping up, I think we'll look back at Lukaku as a better player than Cavani, and we'll look back at Lukaku as one of the top three of his generation, whereas Cavani is probably more of a top 10 maybe, or maybe top five. But yeah, I think it might be because of my West Brom allegiances, but I lean slightly towards Romelu, and I think I'm going to have to go for him.
Yay.
I was hoping that you'd go for this next one first, actually, because I think this one's probably the more obvious, or the most obvious choice. Gig, I'll go to you first. Who have you gone for your left-sided striker?
Yeah, I've gone for Dan Zlatan. Yeah, you could easily switch him and Cavani around. But 11 league titles in four different countries, and that's before the fact that you add on the two that were revoked at Juventus for the trouble they got into. 11-time Ballon d'Or nominee, 4 times in the UEFA Team of the Year, 62 goals in 116 games for Sweden, and 12 times their Player of the Year. I do feel Henrik Larsson might be a bit aggrieved by the amount of stick he gets about Ibrahimovic's Sweden accomplishments, but no, a brilliant player, and he was fantastic at Man U. Obviously, they're in a difficult period, like a lot of these players, but like similar to Lukaku, he was brilliant and then suffered a pretty bad knee injury that would have ended a lot of players' careers, but just seems to have spurred him on. And you see the volume of goals he produces for AC Milan, and it just shows you how good of a player he is, really. And a shame he hasn't won the Champions League, because that's the only sort of blemish on his career.
Yeah, I guess that it sort of puts him in the elite category of best players that haven't won the Champions League, along with like Gigi Buffon and a few other Yeah, a few other absolutely notable characters.
Yeah. El Mohammadi.
Yeah, someone that, according to Gig, would keep Trent Alexander-Arnold off the Villa bench.
Well, apparently his crossing is just as good.
Yeah.
You watch how many crosses Elmo puts in, and you then tell me. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think
he doesn't play.
I think, as you said, Ibra is absolutely fantastic, and you thought when he had gone to the MLS, you were like, oh, okay, like he's managed to carry on going for a long time, but fair play, like he must end there. Like, and he was like 36 or whatever, and now he's 38 in Serie A, and he at one point in the season, like I think a month or a month and a half ago, I think it was this year, he was scoring a goal every 63 minutes on average in the Serie A or something. Yeah,
I think he's still at 80 now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but yeah.
Al, who have you gone aside Romelu?
I've gone for Zlatan. I know that those two, Lukaku and Zlatan, they've got a bit of beef going on right now. I'm not sure how well they'll...
Donkey!
I'm not sure how well they'll get on, but maybe it'll just spur them on to score more goals, you know, compete with each other. Maybe it'll just... They'll put aside their differences, you know, shake hands and forget it all. Zlatan, yeah, as we said before, he was class at Man United, although one thing I remember 15-year-old me cared a lot about was when Zlatan...
so he didn't have much pace on FIFA.
No. So he scored two goals against West Brom and got a team of the week. But in the same week, a few days before, Salomon Rondon had scored a hat-trick of headers and was nowhere near that team of the week. And I was fuming at that. I was like, that's only one other person who's done that in Premier League history. So I'd like to say I'm over it. I still think about it at night sometimes, but...
Well, should be a record breaker at least.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, exactly.
Or, well, a record equaliser.
Yeah. it was a great
first Venezuelan to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so but Zlatan, I mean, I don't think I need to add much more to that. He's just one of the elite footballers probably ever. And yeah, he's a no-brainer, really. It was always going to be him and someone else, wasn't it?
One thing that did make me laugh scrolling through social media is that I saw one of the posts of like when the world took note of Zlatan, or when we realised who Zlatan was, and it was the bicycle kick against England. I was like, oh yeah, we didn't know who he was.
That nobody, yeah.
Yeah, 30-odd-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who even was he?
I think I've seen a few of them though where it's like that goal that he scored for Ajax, you know, when he dribbles past about four players and beats the goalie like three times just to pick the pick. I like his mentality of like, yeah, I am the best, and he doesn't really give
up. Yeah, I mean, I do think he's obviously he's arrogant, and some of it does annoy. But in an era of like such media trained footballers, it is nice to see someone come out and just go, yeah, I'm a lion. I don't care what you think. You know what I mean? Like,
I think as that's well, what like, I like
he's
about.
Genuinely like that. Like, I think.
Oh no! Oh yeah, it's not a persona at all.
I don't know. Do you think he speaks to his mum like that?
Maybe. I reckon his mum tells him that.
He probably speaks to his mate a bit like
just
that. Like,
pats
I reckon,
his hair. Like,
I am sweating.
Like, I reckon he's like proper. Because at the end of the day, to become a professional footballer, you have to be a different level of competitive. And have a different level of like mentality, and to be not just a professional footballer but one of the elites of world football, I think you must have that sort of mentality of just like, yeah, I'm better than you, and look at everyone you come up against, just look at them and go, yeah, I'm better than you, and then go and like prove it to yourself as well. I think he must be like that in just average life. Like, I reckon he's the kind of bloke who's a bit of an arsehole to waiters.
Yeah, but Rian Brewster's got more Champions League medals than him, so you know what can you do? But
at least Lando wear his medals to the fucking barbers.
So is no one putting forward a case for Man United's player of the season last season, Tony Marshall?
Hell no, son.
No, I did think about maybe saying Ighalo.
I was astounded when you told me that he got player of the season. I know he technically scored a lot of goals, but
Just show me
his breakdown. You know what I mean? when I wanted to buy the Martial hug, like, especially that goal he scored against Liverpool. Like, if he's scoring that at the Stretford end, he must be big time. But he's just not arsed, is he? He will score you some goals, but he comes off.
He's one of them. He's just got that face where he just always looks a bit like, I want to go home.
Yeah, I think he's definitely been extremely lackluster this season as well.
Yeah, well, you can accept bad performances, but then it's just like laziness. Like laziness at any level is poor, but for Man United, I think Green was a better player than him already. Like Rashford is probably a better player all round, but I think Greenwood is the best finisher out of them. But I think Cavani is the number nine they should be looking at, really.
But yeah, I think that that wraps up our team. So in goal, we have Romero. At right back, we have Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Centre backs, we've got Lindelof and Harry Maguire. Left back, Luke Shaw. Right wing, we've got Angel Di Maria. Centre midfield, we've got Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes. Left mid, we've got Rashford. And up top, we have Zlatan and Romelu Lukaku. Obviously, we've gone through quite a few honourable mentions as we've gone. If I could give you one honourable mention each to put alongside the 11, who would yours be, Gig?
Maybe because of the... I don't know, because Matic and Matic have been brilliant.
Well, you
Matic
only get
is
one.
A definitely but... good shout.
Yeah, I'll go... I don't know, because I feel like Alex will go for Matic, but then...
No, I'll let you have Matic if you give me...
But then, man, you haven't bought many centre-backs, and I don't think Rojo was a bad player. And David Wins had a pretty successful career, albeit mostly in Holland. I'll go for Matic, because I do believe he's a better player than Pogba.
Yeah. Than Pogba?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Just who would I rather have?
Overall, his career has been better, to be fair. He's won the Premier League. He's won the Portuguese league a few times with Benfica.
Yeah,
but
Pogba won
the World Cup.
I'd rather have Matic. I'll go for Matic because he's a fantastic player. As is Mata, but I'll go for Matic.
And Alex, who's your one honourable mention?
Okay, I'm assuming I can't use people who just haven't been selected. From that I've put forward.
No. Just one person that didn't get into the 11 that...
Okay, you just maybe... You guys do some, like, hold music while I just have a quick think.
Do you reckon we'd get copyrighted if we started humming the Countdown theme tune?
That's so good.
Yeah, man. I think, as much as I want to put forward Mata, I think everyone kind of knows how good Mata is. With Herrera sort of one who kind of flew under the radar a bit, and I think in a better team would sort of be classed as sort of like a Darren Fletcher level, who maybe, again, you could argue he flew under the radar as a Man United player, but problems going on.
Oh, just because he had a bad stomach.
Yeah, shitting too much. yeah, wonder what that's like. I'm going to go for Ander Herrera. it's got to be Herrera for me out of the place, because I think he was one of them. He was always solid, solid 7 out of 10 every week. Bit of a shit house, which I kind of like to see. The only time I don't is when they're playing against my team.
Gundogan's such a diver.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's great to watch when he's not playing against West Brom, but when he is, I think he's a wanker. Ander Herrera is my honourable mention.
Nice. Very nice. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please follow us on our social medias. You'll see our Instagram, Twitter and TikTok linked in the description.